Amen.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Come on in, everybody. Let's get ready to worship the Lord. Mark has an amazing thought for the day. And Jesus does through Mark. So come on in, have a seat, and let's worship the Lord.
Can we come in? And I'll try to be friendly this week because apparently last week I wasn't.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. How about that?
Amen, brother. Go. So as long as I let him be my strength, I don't have to worry about it. Right. Yeah. I'm going to share a passage this morning that we are all very, very familiar with. It's John 3:16, and I'm sure that we could all quote this from memory. But, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This week, that passage had a whole new meaning for me. Wednesday night, we live in a RV park with a bunch of retired folks, old people. And, yes, mature, experienced, any other positive words we can think of. Yeah, age to perfection, you know, that's good. I'm glad you feel better, Ray. But when you see an emergency squad come in, that's it. It's uh-oh, what's going on? And what happened? You know, this fire engine came in, then the emergency squad came in. And the emergency squad did not leave. So about 15 minutes later, I walked out to see what was going on. And what had happened was that one of the residents was walking from the clubhouse to his house and collapsed on the bridge that was over the creek. And they were working on him. And they had the defibrillator out. And they were doing CPR, and they did it for 20 minutes. And they thought they had revived him, but on the way to the hospital, he was dead. He'd had a massive, massive heart attack. And he was only in his early 50s. He had a wife and two young kids. So we didn't know where he was spiritually, but we knew that he was in eternity. And so I called Pastor D and asked him if I could share that on Thursday night with our Bible study group, because that gave me new importance on John 3:16. We don't have time. We think we do, but we don't know. So it's important. So Darren allowed me to share that, and we had a couple people that weren't sure, and they asked a question, and when they left Thursday night, they had blessed assurance that they were in the kingdom. And it was awesome. But I still didn't know where that gentleman was. And last night, to give you the rest of the story, I saw her. His wife was walking in front of their residence, and I stopped the car and I rolled down the window and I said, "You know, I'm really sorry about your loss." And she said, "Thank you very much." And we got to talking, and And the Lord opened the door. He said, just say this. And I did. I said, you know, you just don't know how ready you have to be right now to enter into eternity. And she said, you're absolutely right. And we got to talking and found out that he was 98.7% of one of the tribes of Israel. He grew up Jewish. And she told me that as an adult, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. And I said, hallelujah, praise God, he's with the Lord. And she had an attitude of confidence. And she knew where he was. And she knew that she would see him again and their children would see him again. They had blessed assurance. So I'm going to ask the same question today that I asked Thursday night, because it's important that no one leave here not knowing where you will spend eternity if you pull out of this parking lot and get T-boned by a truck and you're dead. I hate to be dramatic, but it's true. I almost got T-boned out there one day because I didn't see the truck coming. I thought, whoa, I could have been dead. But it happens. So if there is anyone here that isn't sure where you're going to spend eternity, please, let's get that settled. Let's get that settled right now before we even begin. So if you need prayer, please, while I'm praying, raise your hand and we will get this squared away. There's enough people here that I have confidence in that I can grab them and say, come with me and come with me and come with me, and we will pray with you individually. I promise you. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come and we thank you that you allowed your only begotten Son to come to this earth, to live a perfect, sinless life, to die a horrible death on the cross, to pay a price for us that we could never pay, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised from the dead so that we could be made right with you, and that you could then come and live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there is anyone here today that does not know you personally, I pray that you would open the eyes of their hearts so that they would know the riches of your glory in the saints. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them spiritual ears to hear so that they can hear your voice. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open their minds to understand the scriptures so that if this is necessary today, please, Lord, let no one leave without knowing you personally. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think it's very appropriate this morning that we can stand and sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because that is exactly what Mark is talking about. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Pain we bear, all we trouble everywhere. We should never be discouraged. Everything to go in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care.
Father God, we ask you for your forgiveness that we do not take everything to you in prayer. Father God, we need you. We need you, Lord God. And we do thank you and praise you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. If that's the wireless, we can just go ahead and cancel that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is my desire to
give you praise and all that.
give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, I
give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, I give you my heart,
I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your way in me this day. Oh, Lord God, help us to even grasp what that means. Have your way this day. Have your way in me, Lord Jesus.
Love you. You are the one.
Through this next final song. It is a prayer of ours, of our heart, that we do look to you. And it's a statement of faith that we will not be overwhelmed, because it's very it's very easy to get overwhelmed sometimes. Isn't that right? And that's when we're taking back the burdens. That's when we're taking back the responsibility and we're trying to carry those heavy burdens on ourselves. And we're not casting our burdens on him, because God's word says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that's what Christ is saying. Christ is saying those words. So as we sing this, let it be a statement of faith as well as a cry of worship. God, we look to you this day. Thank you, Jesus.
God, I look to you. What you do, yeah.
wisdom to know just what you do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah. Let's sing that again.
I will love. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You do reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
One more time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. George, do we know if which wireless it is or if it's wireless? Okay, because we can just use this wired mic here. And
yes, Dave.
Hey, buddy.
Love you.
I love that.
Thank you, Lord.
Hi.
Hello.
I just love that. Hi.
That's exactly how we're to be with God, is that we're coming to Him. And
as a great example.
And at any time that He is our Daddy God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And the thing is that the human father sometimes comes off too busy or something like that, but our Heavenly Father isn't. Our Heavenly Father is always there. And as fathers, we are to be like God and to be reaching out to our children and to helping them and to sacrifice our lives for our family, for our kids.
Amen.
On Father's Day.
Nate Weaver, thank you and happy Father's Day to you.
And happy Father's Day.
And to you guys. Happy Father's Day. We love you all.
Amen.
All right. Well, we've got a couple announcements and then we're going to give that mic to TJ. So just really quickly, I'm going to breeze through these because we got lots to do today. All right, so a couple things just really quickly, and let me turn this on so that we go forward, and hopefully that sound will be fixed. Okay, so we got, again, free Panera loaves in the back. So I don't know if you got some, but we've got bagels, we've got sweets, and we've got tons of loaves of bread. So we want to make sure you take some home with you. We've got those green bags. Take as much as you want freely. We're giving you the bread of the Word of God, and then also we want to give you free Panera bread as well. That's right, your daily bread, right. We want to feed you physically, more importantly, spiritually. Tithes and offerings, you guys, if you're new here, we don't take up tithes and offerings, but we receive them back in the bird box, back in the back hallway there. Freely you've received, freely we've received. So we're so thankful for all that. But you guys give as God leads. We don't want to cajole anybody or manipulate, just as God leads you. We're going to have in a few minutes. I'm actually going to save this to the end of the announcements. We're going to have a ministry commissioning moment. Certificate and award and prayer for the folks that went to the CIA missions training this week. And I know we're missing folks today, but these two young, lovely people, Nehemiah and Sosof, they went for the one-day training. And then the rest of these lovely people went for the full week training. And so we're going to hand out some of those certificates today, and we're going to have Pastor TJ. He's going to come and share for a few minutes. And then I don't know how you guys feel about this. Do you guys want it? Listen, it's up to you guys. Honestly, I really mean that. We've got, I was thinking about asking some of the ones that are here to see if they want to come up for the next Sunday, few Sundays, and just see if they want to share some of the stuff that they learned. Would you guys be okay with that? I'll shorten my teaching time. Hey, you don't have to be so happy about me shortening the teaching time. That got me right here, right in the heart. So what we'll do then is I'll mic up Hezekiah, and you can come up and share, and then we'll see maybe next week who wants to volunteer. Okay, so we'll do that in just a minute. So just really quickly, we may go through the Bible studies. Prayer, Sunday mornings, join us. Gary is in charge of that. Please join us for that. Men's Bible studies, the first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. For dinner, and 6:30 for Bible studies. And we're going through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the Word of God. It's an excellent study, and we would encourage you men to come join us on the second and fourth Tuesdays. Erica, is that next? Is that this week? Next, okay. Man, I can never keep it straight. You guys got to keep me. Okay, second and fourth Tuesdays at Home Fellowship Church, they're going through Living Beyond Yourself. I know there was about 15, 17 women who are taking this women's course. Now stick to it. Stay with it. Don't let the enemy dissuade you. Next week you're going to be so tired. You just want to stay home. You won't want to do your homework. Do it. If you still want to take that course and you want to sign up, we have workbooks. Erica, raise your hand, would you? And we would love, absolutely love, to have you join us for that. And when I say us, of course, I'm not going to be there, but I'm with you in spirit. Also, we've got the Whosoever's Youth Group, and that is on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8:30. Woo, woo, again. Yes, thank you very much. Like I have anything to do with that, but that's Josh and Amanda Panda. And then also our Forgotten God Thursday night Bible study. Man, it's probably a little late to sign up now, but man, I just want to encourage you guys. If you guys don't get involved in these Bible studies, you are really missing out. We had just an awesome time. Delana did a fantastic job with Mark on Thursday. Just so cool, so awesome. And so I will not be there this Thursday because my wife surprised me with... Man, what is it? See, and that's an illustration of a surprise. And so she's taking me out of town for a few days this week. And so, yes, that's really great. And actually, to be honest, it wasn't exactly a surprise because she really did tell me. But, of course, I forget. So it's all new to me. So it was really a surprise when she said, hey, don't forget, we got this. Oh, yeah, so it's a surprise. Okay. Let's see, here's what else we got. Okay, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, you guys already know about that. Well, so we're just going to zippity-doo-dah. All right, and happy Father's Day. Okay, so we are going to go back, and Pastor TJ, would you come up here? I want, for those of you who don't know Pastor TJ, he's an awesome man of God. We know him and his family through CEF. That's one of the ministries that we support, Child Evangelism Fellowship. He is also instrumental in training the teens. And he's, for those of you who remember Sherry Brower, who was here for a while, she went up, now she leads the state, and now Pastor TJ has taken over for Sarasota Manatee County and is doing an amazing job. And so we love him, and he's like family here. His kids go to school. We just love him. We love his family. We love his kids. They're just like family to us. And so we wanted to give him a few minutes. He wanted to say a few words, and so I'm giving him the mic, whatever he wants to say. And Hezekiah, I'm actually going to hook you up. Yes, be very afraid. I'm going to put a microphone on you. So while you're doing that, is that okay? Just give me. Okay.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here this morning. And I just really want to brag about what God is doing through the life of your students. You know, these students, they could have done anything with their time. They could have gone to the beach, hung out, you know, played video games, right? And then he's like, yes, I miss those things, you know. But you know what? The things of this world will pass away, right? But his word will remain. It's eternal. It's an unchanging truth for changing times. And our students have caught the vision. And it's so important because we live in a world where these children are in need. We know this, according to Barna, that this generation of children is like no other generation. Any previous age group, the highest amount of people that have identified as atheist is at 7%. This generation of children is the only generation to reach 14%. It's 14% identifying as atheist. For atheists. So what we're saying is, we have double the amount of children and youth in this generation, Generation Z, identifying and saying publicly that I do not believe in God. And this is the world that even children or of believing children or children just wavering, trying to understand who God is, this is the environment they go to school at. This is the neighborhood children that they're around. These are the children that we are reaching through 5-Day Club Ministry and Good News Club Ministry. And I tell you what, when you walk in, they're sweethearts. But these little sweethearts have a sin nature. Can I get an amen, Hezekiah? And so for these students to spend this week, first of all, learning the message of salvation, the truths for themselves, and having God do heart surgery in them and to have a time to be challenged. But then to go out for a whole week and do 7 different practicums where they go out and they dive into God's word and prepare and then be able to actually present that in front of another instructor who walks through and encourages them on how they're doing the gospel is amazing. But even more than that, I just really want to share how thankful I am for you here at Home Fellowship Church. Thank you. You're the seed of faith. You know what? This outreach here in Manatee, Sarasota, we're talking, I think, the largest amount of students ever involved was last year, before this year, at 6 students. This year, Olivia, Hezekiah can share, and the other students that are here that are involved, we have 15 students involved at Manatee, Sarasota. And you are the leaders. Olivia and Hezekiah. So I'm excited for what God is going to do. I need you to just be praying for them as before we present them. I just want to share a little bit about that. Be praying for them. We are going to have probably some of the most diverse locations that we'll be ministering to children this summer. We're going to be ministering to children in a country club, and we're going to be ministering to children in an outdoor outreach in Newtown. We're going to be ministering to children here in this local church and to families out here in the backyard. And we're going to be ministering to children at the Dream Center in Bradenton with children that are coming from the Bradenton area in the hardest places. And in that, we see by faith the miracle that God has done here and here and over there. And we believe as he does the ministry out here in this summer that he'll do it again. Can I present to you our students? So I'd like to talk to you and brag about to you about Sophia Weaver, who is our first year coming in as a support student. Sophia Weaver, can you come on up? All right. Can you hold this for a moment? Sophia Weaver, this is her first year. But you know what? Don't be confused. She's coming in as a powerhouse. All right. And she's going to be helping out both at the Dream Center and also here at Home Fellowship Church. And I am so excited how God is going to use her to even bring out stronger the gifts of her team. Can you get a hand clap for Sophia? All right. Thank you, Sophia. I don't know if she can make it, but I want to brag about Azdeline right here, okay? Come on up. Come on up. Woo! Azdeline is another powerhouse. This is her second year on the missions track, and she was able to help be an encouragement to the girls in her room and just let them know not to be afraid, but just trust in the Lord. And so in that, you know, as Deline shares the story of missions to our children with passion and enthusiasm, and you know what? We love Asdaline. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Can you come over here, Asdaline? Come over here. Yep. Come over here. I don't have a certificate for him, but I want to draw him up. He's actually walking through the door. Can I get Nehemiah Schadebauer to come on up? Come on. All right, Nehemiah is also first year. Come over here. You know what? I'm also excited about how God is going to use Nehemiah. It's going to be really incredible. He's got grit, and he's got a sense of humor. And in that, I know that he's going to be a blessing to his team, and he's going to find ways to make them even greater. Can we get a hand clap for Nehemiah? I can stand right over here, right next to Asdaline. All right, I'd like to call up Olivia Weaver. Come on up, Olivia. All right. Olivia is a second-year Bible teacher. She's also one of our team leaders, so she'll be responsible not just for ministering, but then wrangling the cattle of teens that are on her team to make sure that they stay in line. And in that, you know, me as a leader, I'll be in the back running the PowerPoint, but not only is God going to be using Olivia to reach children in a forever way, but she's also going to be training up the next generation of students. And I'm really excited about it because I think about last year as a first year was about 5 students that God used you to lead to the Lord. Can we get a hand clap for that? Now you're going to be helping a whole team lead children to the Lord, so it's going to be multiplied. Woo! All right, Hezekiah Schadebauer, come on up. Hezekiah is also a second year and a team leader, and Hezekiah, I believe, will be the only Bible lesson teacher that will be teaching all 5 Bible lessons across the board, and also Hezekiah has led many children to the Lord through our summer ministry. Do you have an idea how many?
I don't know for sure. I don't remember, but like, I know it's not me, it's the Lord.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Hand clap for that. And so God's going to use his faithfulness to be able to multiply across our students as well. And so he'll be leading another one of our 3 teams that are going to be going out across this community in a powerful way. And you know, Hezekiah, he has a strong foundation, and he'd be able to share that to really root other students. And God's going to use that in a very magnified way. Can we get a hand clap for Hezekiah? Thank you, sir. All right, so have you come over here. And then we have 2 other students not with us today from this group, in Skylar and Jonathan Bilbrey, that I'll be helping out with the missions and second-year missions teachers, and it'll be incredible. And so with that, I'll give another hand clap for these amazing students. You want to share a word?
We're just going to take a minute, and let's all pray for them as what they're going to be doing. And then we're going to also pray for Pastor TJ and the ministry and just encourage them. Gary, will you come on up here? I know that this was not planned, but just come on up. I'm going to give you the mic and just ask the Lord, whatever, ask the Holy Spirit, what he wants you to pray just for these kids. And then also for just our friend TJ. We just love him, and for the ministry, if you wouldn't mind.
Father, it's probably only appropriate on Father's Day that not only we celebrate our Heavenly Father, but our earthly Father. And we do that through our children. Lord, you sent your Son to redeem us. And now, Lord, we ask that you would bless our children as they go out to reach other children, so that they would know you, Lord, that they would know your love, they would know your redemption, they would know your grace. Father, we ask that your hand would be on Pastor TJ, on Hezekiah, Olivia, all of these young people, Lord, as they follow your path, Lord, and they grow in your word, and that they're your hands and feet in this world that we live in. Father, we ask that what they do would be glorious in your sight, Father. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do through them, Lord. Let it be magnificent. And let it be a testimony to who you are. Because just as Hezekiah said, it's not in our power that we do any of these things, Lord. It's only in your power that it happens. And so let it glorify your name, Lord. And as our final hymn this morning said, hallelujah, our God reigns. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
All right, thank you, guys. You may be seated. Hezekiah, you may not be seated. All right, so guys, one thing to know that it's very scary. I mean, you know, Scott and Delana were here Thursday, and they were she was up sitting with Mark up here and helping to facilitate the Bible study. And you've taught for 30 years, is that correct? But when you're up here in front of all these people, even though it's like family, it's a scary thing. So Hezekiah, on the one hand, I just want you to look at all these. They're just kids in big bodies. That's what we are. So I just want to just encourage you, and I'm going to hit your little mute button, which means you're going to be able to speak. Are you all set? Are you all ready to go? You may use that. Absolutely. I'll get my stuff off of there. Okay? Put this over here. Thanks. All right. Hey, Nate Weave, how do I – I'm just going to set this down.
Okay. Okay, that works.
George, are you
ready
to go? Yeah, you should be hot.
Okay. Okay. Should be. No, I'm just kidding. anyway, so you want me to just start as soon as you sit down?
Do whatever you want to do, yes. Show us what one of the things you learned, a little teaching or something. And,
okay.
How you teach the kids.
Okay. Before I start, I just want to do a quick prayer. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can all come together and, you know, worship you freely in our country, Lord. And just thank you that, you know, that I can even be here, you know, teaching people about the stuff that you've taught me, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. One thing I like to say before I get started is in when we teach, we like to have the kids, like, get up and, you know, run around. And like I'll be saying stuff like, okay, let's get up and run like this person in our story or something like that. If you can't, you don't have to. I just want to let that out right there, okay? So, right. If you had all the money in the world, what would you buy? Anyone? If you had all the money in the world, Pastor TJ.
Lots of Crunch and Munch.
What? What? Lots of Crunch and Munch. Anybody else? Isabel.
A maid to clean my house.
A maid to clean your house? Yes. Large print Bibles for the world. And one more in the very back.
Make sure that everybody has a place to stay, that we have
their home. Mm-hmm. Those are all good, but can anyone tell me some things that we can't buy with money?
Jesus.
Yes.
Love.
Love, yep. Anyone? Just raise your hand. Yes?
Salvation,
yes. One more.
Freedom.
Well, yes, in the same way, we're going to be learning about in our Bible story, the disciples learned about something that could not be bought with money. And you see, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was on the earth teaching people about, you know, teaching people about God. And one day he was traveling to another place, and a rich young man ran up to him and, you know, started and knelt down before him and started asking how he could have eternal life. It says in the Bible, in Mark chapter 10, it says, "And he was setting out his journey, and a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.'" So, you see, basically what he was saying was he was trying to see if the teacher knew, see if the man knew that if he was God. And you see, he asked the person if he had kept all the commandments. And the Ten Commandments, they were just old laws for, you know, the people that believed in God and people that, you know, trusted in God. They were just rules that they needed to follow. And Jesus had asked the person if he had kept all these rules. And he said, yes, Jesus, I have kept these ever since I was young. And you see, he couldn't have kept all these things. He's normal. The only person who could is God. And you see, even though Jesus knew, this man could not have kept all of his commandments. Just as in the same way, you and I, we cannot keep all the commandments that God has given us today. It says in Romans 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for it all. And you see, basically what that means is that we all have sin. We are all born with a want to do bad things and to go against God's laws. And you see, when we do bad things, there's a punishment for that. When we disobey our, parents, there's a punishment for that. And you see, the punishment for sin is eternal separation from God. That means we can't be in heaven with him forever. You see, you and I, we have all broken God's perfect commandments. Just as in the same way, Jesus was reminding the rich young ruler that he could not have kept all his commandments. But you see, the young ruler, he insisted that he kept all these commandments since he was young. And he told Jesus that he had kept all the commandments since he was young. And you see, even though Jesus knew that this man couldn't have kept all these commandments, he still loved him. Even though you and I, even though we've done bad things and that we've sinned, Jesus still loves us. You see, he loves us because he's a creator. Now, on the count of three, I want everyone to shout out their favorite animal, okay? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, yeah. Jesus made those things, and he loves all his creation. But you know what's his favorite creation? People. You and I. And you see, when he created us just the way he wanted. You see, God is perfect, which means he can't do wrong, which means when he created us, it was not a mistake. It says in Psalm 139:12, Psalm 139:13, it says, for you formed my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Basically, that means that Jesus made you who you are. And that, no matter what color of hair you have or what kind of body shape you have, Jesus created you just the way he wanted you. And you see, even though what we do things wrong, that Jesus still loves us. And it is great news that God still loves us, even though he knows that we've all done bad things and he knows about our sin. Just in the same way as our story, Jesus knew about the sin of the rich young ruler, but still he loved him. And you see, in our story, Jesus told the rich young ruler that if he wanted to follow him, he would have to sell everything he owned and give it to the poor. You see, the rich young ruler, he was very sad. He had a big decision to make. You see, because he didn't want to give away all his belongings. He didn't want to give him all his belongings. And Jesus was trying to show the man that he was putting his trust in money instead of putting his trust in Jesus for eternal life and happiness. So you see, in the same way, you and I, we need to trust Jesus and not other things. It says in 1 Peter 3:10, it says, for Christ also suffered for our sins. So basically what that means is, you see, Jesus, he lived a perfect life for us, and he did nothing wrong. But you know what? He willingly died. He willingly shed his blood so that we could be in heaven with God forever. You see, even though Jesus died for our sins, he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again. So you know what? On the count of three, I want everyone to jump up from their seats and yell, Jesus is alive, okay? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is alive! Good job. You see, only by trusting in Jesus alone can we receive eternal life. Amen. So, would the rich young ruler in our story be willing to trust Jesus for eternal life instead of his money? So, if you think that the rich young ruler sold everything that he owned and followed Jesus, put your hand on your head. Okay, sorry. All right. If you think that the rich young ruler sold everything that he owned and followed Jesus, put your hand on your head. If you think that he still kept on to his money and didn't trust in Jesus, put your finger on your nose. You see, sadly in our story, when the rich young ruler heard what Jesus had said, he walked away and he said he was very distraught and sad. You see, he valued money above God. He valued other things above God. And you see, if we believe in Jesus, he doesn't want us to value things above him. Knowing and following Jesus is the most important thing in the entire world. So, here are a couple questions. What do you like to do more than anything else? Here's another one. What do you think about more than anything else? You see, if these things aren't Jesus, then they might be something that you value above God. In Philippians 3:8, it says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord." Basically, what that means is that everything else in the world shouldn't be valued as much as God. And it shouldn't be worth as much as God. You see, we need to value Jesus above all else. Knowing and following Jesus is the most important thing in the entire world. You see, sadly in our story, the rich young ruler thought that his money was more important than following Jesus. You see, and when the rich young ruler walked away, Jesus said, "You know, it would be easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to come, you know, into the kingdom of God." And you see, when the disciples heard about this, they were shocked. They were like, if he has all this money, and if he almost kept all the commandments, and he's a good person, if he can't come to Christ, who can? And you see, Jesus was trying to teach that through our own power, we cannot come to Christ, but only through God, and only through what good Jesus did for us, we can come to Christ, and that we can, you know, be in heaven with him forever. Eternal life is for anyone who can trust in Jesus. With God, all things are possible. And you see, just as eternal life does not depend on riches or good works. Eternal life depends on trusting in Jesus alone. You see, anyone can be saved if they are willing to put their trust in Jesus alone for eternal life. Are you willing to trust Jesus for eternal life? You see, we need that because we have all sinned. We have all done things wrong. But Jesus died on the cross for us so that we wouldn't have to be separated from him forever. In John 3:15, it says that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Basically, what that's trying to say, if we believe that we have sin and that Jesus was the only one that could die for our sins, that we can have eternal life and have him forever with God. Would you like to believe in Jesus today? Can everyone please bow their head and close their eyes? Thank you. And if you would like to believe in Jesus, and you would like to trust that, you know, he's the only way for you to have eternal life, would you show me by raising your hand? Okay. Everyone, you can look up and, you know, open your eyes now. Okay, so if you raised your hand, meet me in the back of the room by the door, and I will show you from God's word what it means to trust in Jesus and to believe in him for eternal life. Does everybody stand up? No, I'm just not going to make it. That was great. I love that. All right. Well, we are already on our way in God's Word. We are in James chapter 3. We're going to jump right into it and continue on with that teaching.
So if you would please open your Bibles to James chapter 3. Hezekiah, you did a great job. James chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, a kind-hearted Chris will deliver one to you. Chris, could you grab a few Bibles? Just raise your hand. Chris, Joe, one of you two. Bring out some Bibles. Just walk them back there if you would. Sometimes people raise their hand after you grab the Bibles. So we are in James chapter 3, going through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so you know what the Word of God means. The book of James is like a 50 caliber of the New Testament, one command imperative after another, after another. We're in James chapter 3. We're talking about the tongue. We're talking about real maturity, real faith, real life. We started in James chapter 3. I think we made it all the way to, what, maybe 6 or something? Or 6? Over the last 2 weeks. There's just so much in the Word of God. It's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, bone and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It is so rich. But we started out in James chapter 3 where it told us not to be many teachers because we'll be judged more strictly. And God's Word says to whom much is given, much will be required. And then it started talking about our tongues in these verses. And you guys know, the Bible says the tongue has the power of life and death. That's Proverbs 18:21. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And we know that the tongue just, you know, from our Christian walks, we know that just as a doctor will examine and say, stick out our tongues, we can kind of feel like and know how we're doing in a Christian walk. That's a good test. What's coming out of our mouth, how we're speaking, what we're speaking about. Do you know what I mean? Now, we're all going to stumble and slip sometimes. Isn't that right? It happens, right? But what are you characterized by? Are you characterized by when the pressure comes on? Blah, 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 blah. Well, that's an indicator that you've got some real yucky stuff and it has to be dealt with, especially as a born-again believer, right? Because we are his ambassadors. We represent Christ. What's on our lips, what's on our tongues, what we're sharing is coming out of our hearts. So we need to do business with God. If there's some stuff in your life, if it's coarse joking, if it's dirty jokes, if it's cursing, if it's whatever, unkind words, harsh, mean words, then we need to do business with God because words kill or words give life. It's kind of like a litmus test to how we're doing in our Christian walk. Don't ignore it. You could have all the Bible knowledge in the world, and if what's coming out of your mouth is junk, is garbage, then you need to re-examine everything and get right down to the heart and say, oh, God, search me. Oh, no, God, see if there's any wicked way within me because that's an indicator something's really wrong. And God's trying to get your attention and he's trying to tell you that, not because he's mad at you or doesn't like you. It's because he loves you and he wants good things for you and he wants people, others, your friends, family to see Christ in you. And so we need to take more careful of our speech because out of the overflow of their heart, the mouth speaks, Luke 6:45 says. We need to be, we were talking about the tongue and being, it says in James, like a fire and it goes through all these things. But how important, it says Proverbs 12:25 in the Living Bible, anxious hearts are very heavy or worried hearts cause depression, but a word of encouragement will do wonders. You don't know where everybody's at right now. Let me tell you, when you look around this place, if you knew what I knew about them, you would probably treat them a lot nicer, a lot kinder. You don't know, but God knows. So here's the deal. Speak to everybody how you would like to be spoken to. We know that gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the body, Proverbs 16:24 says. And a person's words can be life-giving water to folks. We live in a dry desert land, and that living water that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of us is going to bless people, encourage people, give them hope and a future. Those words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook, God's word says. Let me scroll through. We talked about how our tongue's like a forest fire, and I'll read up to that point. But it says this, just for a second. Thanks, Chris. I'll just read just a few verses in verse 3. It says, when we put bits in the mouths of horses, we can make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. We talked about that too. Our tiny little 2.5-ounce tongue can change the directions of our lives. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. And yet, listen, the Bible says if you're going to boast about anything, boast that you know the Lord, not in your power, your strength, your intellect. It says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And we spoke about that last week with Smokey the Bear and the California fire started by a tiny little spark. It says in verse 6 of James 3, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Zoinkaramas, that's getting to the point, isn't it? But you know what? Isn't it true? Let's just, listen, how many of us here have been really damaged in our lives? Now, God can heal all these things, can he not? Can he? Right? And he can forgive all these things. But how many of us have been really, really damaged by people's words? I want you to be honest. Just raise your hand. Look around you. Most everybody has their hand raised. Now, if you haven't, you know what? Praise the Lord. But you live in a sin-filled world, and so it's probably going to happen at some point. Hope it doesn't. And so why don't you be a conduit of life and encouragement and blessing? We talked about that, and we talked about some things. Let me zip forward just a smidge. Jesus even said that we're going to be held accountable for every careless word we speak in Matthew chapter 12. We talked about some of these things that come out of our hearts. You know, what are we talking about? You know, lying. We talked about that last week too, you know. And God's word says in Proverbs 26, just like that small spark that starts a fire, oh, I just tell little white lies. Oh, I just do this, I just do that, and I'm just joking. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 26, 18 to 19, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is the one who lies to their neighbor and says, I was only joking. Listen, take it seriously. We talked about how even it says in John 8:44 that native language of hell is lies. Listen, Jesus is the truth, right? It says that Satan is the father of lies. If that's what you're speaking his language. We want people to know where you're from by how you speak. Just as you could tell last week when I talked by an English accent or an Australian accent, you knew where I was from. You need to be people of the truth, speaking truth all of the time so people know where you're from. We talked about slander, and that's just a communication of false statements to destroy somebody's reputation. And Psalm 101:5 says, I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbor, and I will not endure conceit and pride. We talked about how damaging the tongue could be like a fire with flattering lips, and flattery is just excessive, insincere praise. Psalm 12:3 said, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Gossip, and that's just saying something behind somebody's back that you wouldn't say to their face. And the words of a gossip, our flesh likes it. We want to hear all the dirty information. But they're like choice morsels. They go down to our inmost parts. God says, get rid of that. And that fire is going to go out without that wood. And a quarrel disappears when gossip stops. Proverbs 26:20. And then even things like blasphemy that can come out of our hearts and minds. Listen, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. You're saying, Jesus. Listen, you're using a word that's describes excrement, you know what I'm saying? To describe the person who's given you life and breath and salvation. Wow. No big deal? I think it is. Exodus 27 says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. What's on our tongues is so important. The Bible says in James chapter 3, then in these next verses, in verse 7 and 8, it says, all kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to SeaWorld or what's your opinion of SeaWorld, but I've been there. And we've actually had great time as a family. One of the things that we do or that we did is we saw in SeaWorld, we watched Shamu, the killer whale. Okay, that should give you a little indicator of its size, right? Shamu, the killer whale. And I've watched this 10,000-pound animal push up a trainer in Shamu Stadium. Okay, I've watched him jump through hoops like a little kitty cat. Or do tricks on command. So man can tame animals like this thing for crowds in Orlando. I've watched men train huge animals. I don't know if you guys know this guy. He lived in Venice. You remember Gunther Gable Williams? Anybody remember him? Okay, well, some of you might have seen it. I went to go see it when I was young, you know, just a couple years ago. Anyway, that doesn't matter. My point is that I went to go see him in Venice. This guy, now as a little kid, this guy was the man. Do you know what I'm saying? He was like all ripped. He would stand in this arena with all these tigers and lions, stick his head in the lion's mouth. I was like, whoa. He would actually walk around with a giant leopard sometimes like this. He's like, yeah. And I was like, I was amazed by this guy. He makes these predators jump through fire. This is him just with giant Bengal tigers. I mean, look at this. Like a kitten. He's making this giant tiger do trick. This is what he's tamed. This is even a picture. This is an old picture. I don't know if you can see this. He's got this one tiger. He's riding a tiger. Is that incredible? When I saw him, you know what? It was amazing. I think he's gone now, but... I think he died, but anyway, I've watched this with my own eyes. Men train tigers and beasts and to ride up on elephants and horses. I've watched this guy, Abu Zarin. This is in 2017 on Asia's Got Talent. I didn't even know that was a show, but anyway, it is. And this guy was a firefighter, or was. Anyway, and what he would do is he would teach others how to do cobras. I've watched this guy kiss a king cobra, a 15-foot king cobra, which has enough neurotoxin, okay, with one bite to kill 20 people or to take down a large male elephant. I've watched him just do this whole thing, and this little king cobra is just doing exactly what he wants to do, even give it a little kiss. I've watched men tame all sorts of animals, but you know, I would have screamed bloody murder too, and that's training. But it says, like in the Word, it says that men and women can train all these things, but no man can tame their tongue. And isn't that true? It says no man in their own power can tame their tongue. You need Jesus Christ to stop that tongue from saying these things that are destroying others. Listen, our tongue can poison minds. Our tongue can assassinate characters, the venom in there. Don't underestimate the power of your words. Listen, don't do it. Pay attention. Right now, you need to be listening. Don't underestimate either the encouragement as you're building up others or the harm you're doing by letting your mouth just go. Please, I'm begging you, literally. You have to, I have to, we have to ask God to get our mouths under control. It's a bad witness. Chances are a lot of other people know that you've got a problem with your mouth. It's just you don't. So ask the Lord, Lord, do I have a problem in this area? And if you don't really want the truth, ask your neighbor or ask me if I know you well. I will be honest with you. Humbly, respectfully, but truthfully. William MacDonald said this, and I liked it. This is a quote from him. He's a Bible teacher, Bible expositor. He said, "Who can measure the harm done or the tears that have flowed the broken hearts or the ruined reputations because of our tongues. It says, who can measure the misery it has brought to our own lives and to our families? Parents who have openly indulged in unfair, harsh criticism of fellow believers have had to watch their children adopt that same critical spirit and wander off from Christian faith. The price we have to pay for undisciplined use of our tongue is enormous. Jesus kind of seemed to agree. And he said this. He said, make a tree good and the fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. He said, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. He was talking to the Pharisees, and they knew all this sort of religious lingo. Maybe you've grown up in the church. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while. But it says, listen, he called them, you brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, our mouth speaks. So we've talked about the tongue and the damage it's done for the last 2 weeks. And it is so true. It goes on to say in James chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Chris, if you could hit that just for a second. Thanks, buddy. It says, with our tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers or sisters, this shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What he's saying here is, you know, we're praising our Father in heaven, and then we're cursing our family members or our friends or our who are made in God's image. Sometimes on the road, right? That's an easy place to lose it, isn't it? That's not okay, Christian. You see what God's saying here? Listen, I remember, I have a friend, Don, who pastors a church in Sarasota. And I remember we were talking one time, and he was telling me, he used to be an associate pastor for a mega church over on the other coast with about 20,000 people. And he actually had to pull the senior pastor's head out of the drywall because this guy, who was just minutes before praise and worshiping the Lord, arms raised, worshiping God, took that senior pastor, beat the snot out of him, and put his head through the wall to the other side. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Love Jesus. They'll know us by the love we have for one another. Hello. Now, we laugh because that sounds so ridiculous, but we have to be known by that same love. Well, this person spouts off, and they, no, don't tell me about this person, that person. God is speaking to you. God is asking you for something different. And you can't do it on your own. If you try it on your own, can I tell you? You're going to fail, right? But you can ask Jesus to help you, and he will. Here's some things, some practical steps. If you struggle with your tongue, well, this is just how I talk, or I just think I just say it like that. I'm just being honest and blah. You can mallet somebody. Listen, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, here are some things, some practical steps that we can do, okay? If you struggle with that tongue, with that mouth, okay, here's some practical steps. First, the very first thing is, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, guys, we can confess our sins and we can ask forgiveness of God. So if you've grieved God's heart, and you can, that's what the Bible says, you can grieve the heart of God, you can make him sad by your speech, how you're talking. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. Okay, does it not grieve your heart like nothing else when you have one sibling saying terrible, cruel things to another? Does it not break your heart as a parent? You think, oh my God, Lord. We've all experienced it. Maybe we've done it. Right? Think of how our Father God feels when we do that as his kids. That might be a future brother and sister in Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? That's his kid. So the first thing we do is to confess it to the Lord, you know, and ask him to forgive you and ask him to show you the severity of your speech and your words. Some people are like, oh, I don't care, whatever, I don't know. Ask him to do like what he did with Isaiah. Isaiah was a pretty powerful prophet, and he was going around, woe to you, and breathing out woes to people, talking to people. And man, oh man, when he came before the Lord himself, when he just stood before the Lord himself and looked at his, that it wasn't like, all these people are wrong. He said some serious things. He said, woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined. He said, for I'm a man of unclean lips. This is Isaiah. And I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then it says that the Lord did this. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And it said, with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Ask the Lord to bring that hot coal and cauterize your lips. Yeah, I'm looking at you. But yeah, I'm looking at you too. And you. And I hold a mirror and I look at me. And I do that first. I don't know about you, but this has been a good reminder for me. Let's just be honest. We're all sinful creatures apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it true? So don't come out of here. Confess it to the Lord. Ask him, Lord, please help me. Will you please forgive me? The Bible says he's so gracious. He says he'll take away that guilt. Your sin will be atoned for. So you don't have to walk around in condemnation. You can keep walking. The enemy wants to put all the red lights. Stop. Stop. Well, you stop walking with the Lord. Stop going forward, you little sinner. Listen to your mouth, you jerk. You know, he like jumps on you with those cleats, right? Those golf cleats as when you're down. Jesus says, I want you to go on. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, it says he is faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins and to cleanse us from some of the unrighteousness. What? Oh, I'm wrong. You're right. It says cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. All of it. But it says we need to confess it, repent of it. Does that make sense, guys? So that's number one, confess it and ask for his forgiveness. And you know what? Man up, woman up, and ask forgiveness. If you're being mean to others with your speech, stop it. Ask for their forgiveness. And don't be like, well, if she didn't say this, then I wouldn't have said that. Well, if he said that he would respect, love me like I was supposed to, then I'd respect him. Either way, don't do that. You are accountable for God for your words and your actions. Does that make sense? Boodly booyah. The second thing is, besides confess and ask forgiveness from the Lord, is to pray. You have a God who loves you. It says that he lives to intercede for you. And Chris, you need a lot of intercession. So do you, JoJo. A lot of intercession. And so do I. But pray. Ask him. Lord, help me. No man or woman can tame the tongue, but Jesus can. Somebody was afraid. So I met with somebody this week. Bless their hearts. They came out and they met with Gary and I and said, well, I'm struggling with the tongue. I'm being really convicted by this. I don't, and one of the things that they were saying is, I'm not asking forgiveness anymore because I've just done it so much. Ask for forgiveness and ask for prayer because he will empower you. Listen to this. This is Psalm 141:2. Set a guard over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. Ask God to do that for you. Set a guard to remind you before you say something. The Bible says be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. Ask him, set that guard. Or if you can't, you don't want that guard, keep your mouth shut. And yes, I did do that slide. The third thing is, okay, we confess and ask forgiveness. The second thing we do is pray. The third thing we do is train. What? Well, Pastor Darren, I confessed it, and I'm praying all the time, but nothing's changing, so. Well, You got to do some work, kids. The Bible says to train yourself, right? And this is are you in training? Are you putting forth any effort to it, right? Are you renewing your mind with God's word, right? Are you refreshing it? It says that we need to be washed with the water of the word. Think of it as a good kind of brainwash. Are you putting it in? Are you going to a Bible study? Are you listening to it on the radio? Well, listen, we'll give you free books. We'll give you free audio. We'll give you free Bible links. We'll do Bible studies. We do it all for free. But you have to show up. You have to put forth some effort, right? So do I. Listen, the 1 Corinthians 9:25 and 26 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Paul's talking about the Olympic games. But he says they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's why we're doing this, right? For Jesus. Listen to this, kiddos. 1 Timothy 4:7 in New Living Translation, I like this. It says, don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. It says, instead, train yourself to be godly. That means you do it again and again and again. If you fail, you fail. Lord, help me again. I confess it to you. I pray I need your help in this area, and then I'm going to try. Listen, Natalie, I asked if I could use you as an illustration. Now, Natalie, I noticed you do some acting. Is that correct? Okay, I don't know if the wireless mic is working or if it's on. If it starts making that crackle pop sound, we'll just turn it off, okay? It was mine? All right. So here's the thing. Natalie, I've noticed these great plays that you're doing. Usually I'm noticing you're playing lead characters. That's wonderful. So the first time, do you just get up and do you just go up on stage and just speak in these plays?
No.
Okay. So you're telling, you don't just do it the first time? I'm guessing, what does it take? You mind holding that mic to your lips? What do you have to do? I mean, do you have to...
It's okay. I'll talk about it.
Okay.
It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of studying, like, even outside of practice. When I'm practicing with, like, the director or whatever, outside of that, it takes, like, a lot of time and practice
Good.
To get all those words.
Good. So listen to what she's saying. She's saying it's taking a lot of time. She has to study the words that she's going to be. She has to, so it's fresh in her mind. It's right there. She has to go over it with the director again and again. I'm guessing she has to do the scene. I'm sure you mess it up a lot, right? And then you have to go back and do it again. That's the same thing when you're training yourself to be godly. You could mess up 100 times, but every time you go back and, Lord, help me to do it differently this time. You just don't stop. If you do baseball, I did this when I was a kid, you would go over those plays if you were on a team again and again and again. So when that ball was hit, you knew exactly how to catch it, where to throw it. I didn't even think about it. You had 1 second. It just happens. That's what training yourself to be godly. Do you get it? So don't worry if you have to do it again and again. Ask the Lord to help you. But then you have to put in some effort as well, kids. Somebody told me, well, I just pray, Pastor Darren. I don't really need to work at it. I just pray. Well, I get what they're saying, but it says, yeah, God just provides. Well, yes, but he also expects us to be obedient. Does that make sense? Like it says that he provides for the birds of the air, doesn't it? Right? He provides food for the birds of the air, but that bird still has to get up, fly around, go get a little worm out of the ground, chomp it down. It's not like all the birds have worms magically drop in their little mouths, right? Okay, so we need to train ourselves to be godly. The fourth thing, practical thing we do is to stand. What does that mean? We need to stand on God's word. Listen, you're in your mind. Sorry, it's a little hot in here for me. I like it like a refrigerator. Listen. This is what I hear in my head, and maybe you hear it in your head. I can't, Pastor Darren. I've screwed up too many times. I just not in me. And if you're a born-again Christian, can I just be super respectful to you but truthful with you? That's a lie. Whoa, you're getting a little mouthy here. But I'm saying it in a loving way to you. You can do it. The Bible said, doesn't say, the scripture verse in Philippians doesn't say, I can do most things through Christ who strengthens me, right? It says, I can do how many things? Now that could either be a catchphrase or you can stand on that and believe it in your heart. Listen, Romans 8:11, kids. It says the Spirit of God, or the translation I like better says, the same power who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Amen. Zoikarama! The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Please don't tell me that you cannot. Now, it might take you. Sometimes, God, I've watched him do it miraculously, boom, bang, boom, right then. Sometimes it's taken some training and some hard work and years. Either way, God will do it in and through you. You just keep running to him. You don't give up. Amen? Amen. Listen. Well, I just don't have the self-control, Pastor Darren, so... Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 25:28 that a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Back in the old days, that's how they defended themselves. If a city had a hole in the wall, the enemy could come in and out. If you don't have self-control in your speech and you don't learn that, the enemy can come in and out and wreak havoc whenever he wants. And that's what he's doing in your life, isn't it? That's what he's doing around you, isn't it? Do not let him have that permission. The same power who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And it says in Galatians 5:22-23, but the Holy Spirit, if we're refreshing our hearts and minds, if we're praying, we're asking him, renewing our minds with God's word, it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and nobody likes to talk about this one. Self-control. Again, without it, there is no law against it. And then the very last thing, confess and ask forgiveness. Pray. Train yourself to be godly. Stand firm on God's word. And here's the last thing, practical to help you with your tongue, is be purposeful in how you speak. Be purposeful in how you speak. Ephesians 4:29. If you don't have that underlined in your Bibles, kiddos, man, you need to do it. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which builds up others. God wants you to be a builder. There's enough people tearing down. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody you know probably tears people down. How about not you? How about you just be different? How about you decide to honor the Lord? Just you. I hope everybody, don't get me wrong, right? I want us all to do that. But how about just you? If you would just do that, what a difference it would make. The New Living Translation says, don't use foul or abusive language. Yeah, you could. Yeah, your flesh wants to. Don't do it. Let everything you say be good and helpful. So your words will be an encouragement to those who listen or to hear them. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Listen, I want your tongues, because you're a Christian, to bring healing to people. People need it. I need it. You need it. We need it. I'm gonna read you something as we're closing out. These last few verses. I'm going to read, actually, it's from Job. This is from Job chapter 16, so give me a minute. I got to find it. It's from Job chapter 16. Job was suffering a lot. God had allowed it, but it was for his glory. And Job had some friends, and these friends started off really good. These friends started off encouraging him and helping him and being there for him. Wow, what a good friend. What a good friend. But then you know what happened? Those friends started getting a little nasty. Those friends started speaking some things they shouldn't speak. And I want you to listen to this. This is in Job chapter 16. Finally, Job replied to him and just said, hey, man, They were starting to say, Job, you must be in sin. You must be against God. That's why you're suffering this. And he's like, honestly, my heart's pure and not. And he's like, yeah, sure, right. And Job replies in Job 16, this is in verse 2 through 5, and I'll just read it to you. It says, I have heard many things like these, Job saying to these friends. Miserable comforters are all of you. He says, will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that you keep on arguing? He's like, you know, he talks to them, you know, if I was in your position, verse 4, he said, I could speak like you if you were in my place. I could make fine speeches against you and shake my head at you, sinner. He says something in verse 5 that's really beautiful to me. He says, but my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. That's the heart of a Christian. My mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. Listen, here's a basic thing for you. Let your words pass through. Oh, I didn't correct the spelling. Let your words pass through. It's supposed to be checklist before you speak. Here's just three things as you speak. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? Listen, sometimes you have to correct people and rebuke people. That's what the Bible says. Ephesians 4:15 says to speak the truth in love. Are they kind? All right? Are they kind? The Bible says in Colossians 4:5-7, if you could hit those lights just for a second, Chris. And this is the International Children's Bible, and I love this because TJ anyway, made me think of this. But it says, when you talk, you should always be kind and wise. Then you'll be able to answer everyone in the way that you should. And then is it necessary? Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? Sometimes I have to say truthful words, or you have to say truthful words in correction or rebuke to brother or sister, and it is kind and it is necessary. But most of the time, those three things will help you. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? The Bible just says this, again, tongue has the power of life and death, and those who eat it will love its fruit. Or this final one in the Message translation. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Listen, what are you going to choose to give away to people? What's going to come out of your mouth? Is it going to be life-giving, living water? Is it going to be fruit? Is it going to be good things? Or are you going to be doling out poison because you're jealous or you're bitter or you want to make yourself feel better? Or yet, you know what I'm saying? You get to choose. And I'm asking you to make that choice right now. So can we all pray together right now? Would you just pray with me? Father, I just pray. First, I just want to say thank you for today, Lord God. Even through the microphone blips and all of this and that, Lord, your word is spoken and it will not return void. I pray that you would convict anyone who needs convicting, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would heal anyone who needs healing, Lord God. I pray that you would help each one of us here, Lord, right now to ask you for help, Lord, to set a guard over our mouths, Lord God, to train ourselves to be godly, Lord God, and to be purposeful in how we speak, Lord God, that you would allow us to be your ambassadors, your conduits, Lord. Help us to speak words of encouragement, of truth, Lord, to speak your words, Lord. Is it biblical what we're speaking? Help us to know and speak your word to others, Lord God. Help us to be your mouthpiece to a lost and dying world, Lord God. Change my heart, Lord. Change each one of our hearts today that we would choose life in how we speak to others. And we would do it in the power and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.